The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I know a lot of people who do athletic things but aren't athletes.
When we were in the ninth grade, they had us all line up at one end of the schoolyard for this big race to see who was going to represent the school in this track meet.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you're a three-time Pro Bowler, I think you're always an athlete.
Huh? Always?
Always an athlete.
Forever?
It's something you can't take away.
So he yells out, "Ready, on your mark, get set." And I was so keyed up, I just took off.
You got to do something athletic to get your card back.
Wait, so would golf count? Because let's be honest here.
I had sex last night.
Hell yeah, brother.
By the time he said go, I was 10 yards ahead of everybody.
No. Yeah. I looked up. I couldn't believe it.
Sure, but was it athletic sex or was it just kind of...
What are we doing?
By the time the race was over and I had won, I was shocked. Nobody had noticed the head start.
That wasn't my best ever.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
I'm not sure how many hours behind the wheel my 15-year-old needs to get. I'll leave that to him. I mean, I'll find out eventually, but right now we're just accumulating.
I was about to say, I feel like this is something you have to know, because don't you have to sign off on
it? At some point, I will need to know what the number is and whether or not we have reached it. But he is keeping track of the hours in his phone, and we did a little driving over the weekend, and he did the highway. He drove on the highway. And if Clueless taught us anything, guys, that's a very big deal, driving on the freeway. Never saw Clueless? Ugh.
Okay, so when did Clueless come out?
I don't know, what, 90-something?
That's what I'm saying. So I'm a middle school boy, and I'm going to see Clueless?
But you never saw it eventually?
No.
1995. That's Reese, right in my wheelhouse.
Reese Witherspoon?
No.
That's Legally Blonde.
Understandable, though. Very similar.
Clueless? Who's in Clueless?
That is Alicia Silverstone.
Same thing.
One had a little longer career. I couldn't tell you the last thing Alicia Silverstone was in.
But Reese is still cranking out.
Oh yeah,
content.
Great, not just good content.
And then throw in Jerry Maguire's girl, and they're all the same.
Renee Zellweger.
Yes,
yes, exactly.
They're all the same.
So does Dario drive with Chase as well? Because Angie would not drive with any of the kids. It was all me. I batted close to 1,000.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he'll drive with him. Drive him home from practice and let him hop in the driver's seat. That's kind of what we're doing, right? I pick him up from school, let him hop in the driver's seat. We went down to Illinois for a birthday party on Saturday. So I did all the highway driving, but as soon as we got off the highway to head to the suburbs, you know, Crystal Lake, those are not suburbs, by the way. Sometimes you call them suburbs, but they're not. But like Crystal Lake, McHenry area, I was like, okay, you're up. He's like, what? No, I don't know where I'm going. I was like, I'll direct you. You'll be fine. He white-knuckled that sucker all the way to my brother's house. Just nervous.
Have you thought about the rules in place for when he does get his license?
What rules?
Well, we had a limit to the number of kids in the car.
Okay, that makes sense. That seems fair.
But, I mean, the state also, like...
Does that?
Normalize. I mean, I don't know how long. Is it till you're 18? You can only have one other person unless it's family the car?
Gabe, a newsflash, because I know you don't have any kids. Kids don't always follow those rules.
Gabe was a kid. I'm sure he was in the car with more than one person.
Oh, wait. The percentage of rules that Gabe Neitzel broke as a child is lower than 5. Fair or unfair?
What's the curfew with the car?
That's another good question. These are all things I haven't established yet, but we will. He's only 15. He doesn't get his license until January of 2025. So we have some time to work these things out. Are there any other rules I need to be aware of at this point that we should be instilling?
Well, kids tend to lose track when they make out at wherever they make out. If they still do that. Do kids still make out in cars?
I would assume so. Like, that's just a...
Joshy?
It's a place where you can go where you anyway, figure you can get a little one-on-one time.
I think we know... I don't know if kids still make out.
I would imagine, since... hormones are still raging at that time.
And puberty still exists.
Yes, that kids are still finding places to make out, and the car being one of them where you can easily seclude yourself.
See, our makeout point was called the drag strip. Now, let me set the scene for you. I grew up in a town of 3,000 people in Massachusetts, so it would be probably like, Gabe, where you grew up.
Okay.
A lot of cornfields.
Sure.
The drag strip ran along the major highway from North Gen 91. You've probably been on 91
sure.
when you lived in Connecticut. So that was our spot.
Where I'm looking up the Massachusetts drag strip just to see what we're dealing with.
Wait, probably so, got an actual drag.
Yeah, it is. It's showing me old-timey race cars.
Uh-huh. Well, but Chew, wouldn't there be like multiple spots? Like if you rolled up and there are already like three or four cars parked at the drag strip, wouldn't you want to then go someplace else?
Well, yeah,
but the drag strip was probably, I don't know, a mile and a half long.
Okay. Is it like the urinal situation where you don't park right next to somebody, right? You give it a few.
Chewy, people were just parking on the side of the road?
Oh, there were little offshoots.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, and then you flash the high beams. Like, I'm here, over here. It should be 100 yards away. Yeah.
If the car is a rockin', don't come a knockin' type of thing.
If the windows are all foggy, leave us alone.
We're writing a song here. Why?
What was the name of your... guys make out spot?
I don't know if we had like names for them. There were just different
cornfields.
Yeah, different cornfields you'd pull off in. Yeah.
In Muguanago, there's a Frog Alley was the place.
No, it was not called Frog Alley. Come on. Really? Come on.
You're killing jewelry.
I mean, the fact that he calls the deed Froggin', and you go over there with Frog Alley.
How has this never been offered up before as much as he has referenced Froggin'?
Because I had to go to another source to get the name. It's the actual name of the road. So the road is called Frog Alley. And at the end of it, there is a place where you could like hike through the park system there in Muguanago. So it's a kind of an overlook like you see in the movies. Obviously not as nice of a look. You're kind of just looking at some trees, but there's an overlook and kids typically would park there. I never did it and I didn't know anyone that did, but I did know that it happened.
So does a makeout spot have to only be a drive-in spot? Like a place, cause we're talking about cars, obviously. Like if you go to the internet, which again is super helpful in these types of situations, you can find best makeout spots in Milwaukee. Somebody has compiled that list. What? However, they're mostly like restaurants.
Really?
Right? Like the Oriental Theater is on the list and Blue is on the list, the restaurant at the top of the Pfister. So that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for, there also is a list that says 13 bar bathrooms to have sex in. So on Milwaukee.com, really doing a.
I'm not going to ask who decided to do that research. I'm not going to, you know what? We're not going to do that.
But if you're looking for makeout spots, like park-in, pull-in spots, I'm not really sure. I don't know of any in Milwaukee.
I would have to assume that the park system is wildly popular.
So, yes, I have to interrupt here because I just found out, Jen, if you go to Reddit, there's favorite hidden spots in Milwaukee's that are talking about makeout spots.
Yeah.
And they've got like the little platform on the river downtown at the end at a cul-de-sac, the Wooded Valley stairs. There's like a lot of places because, as Gabe mentioned,
we got a lot of parks.
The park system, which we all love here in Milwaukee. A lot of places you can kind of get away.
I'm going to guess that up where we live, Vermont Park is going to be a popular spot for Chase and his buddies at some point when they get their license. Right? It overlooks the lake. Jen, it's right there on Lake Michigan. I'm thinking that might be a pretty romantic spot.
These kids today have to be very careful, though. And I got a great story from Angie.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
I mean, we're halfway there, bud. You might as well just finish the story.
So, when Angie owned the biz, Goff's, some parents would want a camera put in the car to watch their kids drive. You guys heard of this, right?
I have not, but I'm not shocked that parents have requested this.
Where do you put a camera in? In the rear view mirror?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Angie, at the request of the parents, put it in for this young lady.
Oh, boy.
Who decided to go parking.
Oh,
and
no.
And decided to crawl into the back seat.
Now we're calling it parking.
With said boyfriend And the mother starts blowing up her phone to wit she kept ignoring.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because
busy.
So the daughter got in trouble. And then the lady had the seeds to call Angie and start yelling at her.
What?
Like, you told me to install the camera in the rearview mirror. What? It's not my fault that you saw a little bit too much.
What did you think was going to happen? Like, that's why you don't need to Big Brother, you know?
Not that much, for
no.
sure.
No.
Again, I have cameras in my daughter's rooms. They're 6 and they're 4.
Yes.
But makes I would sense. Never in a million years consider putting a camera in my 15-year-old's room or in the basement, which has become the extension of his room, really? Right? Like, that's where he's hanging out. And when he has a young lady over and they're watching a movie, that's where they're hanging out. You got to be some kind of sicko to be like,
right?
Let me see what's happening down there.
Angie has one in our big room downstairs because she says she wants to watch the plants. I'm like, Angie, all the kids have moved out. We've gone through 3 couches in the basement. I think we're good. Okay? I think we're good.
So I feel like we have a responsibility, a civic responsibility, if you will, to compile a list of some of the spots in Milwaukee. 800-990-3776. I think we should put together a list of some of the makeout spots in Milwaukee. Lesser known, if you will. Here's the thing. If you want to keep your spot to yourself, that's fine. I understand the idea of, you know.
Who do you think's listening to the show?
We got kids that are.
Yeah. They're supposed to be going to school.
Statute
right
of limitations.
You have people who know the places. I don't know them yet because my kid's not there yet. But I'll tell you what, once he starts doing it and I got the Find My, I'm going to know where those spots are. And then I would be doing a service by sharing those spots.
Well, and that's the other thing about the camera. Like, do you really need the camera and the phone if you can just do the Find My? I mean, you can track your kids on the phone.
The camera seems excessive.
The camera, because, I mean, if the car is parked in the middle of a park or is just, you know.
But, Gabe, I think the camera is there more for the parent wants to see if their kids are texting while driving.
Can't you just put the phone on some sort of drive safe mode? There's something about the phones that when you're driving, whether it's by speed, there's
down.
Some sort of like GPS monitor thing where all of a sudden it goes into drive safe mode.
Didn't your phone have this where basically it defaulted to a do not disturb when you were driving
so
and it was connected?
One of the cars that I had, when I was connected via Bluetooth, like it would automatically reply, I'm driving. You know, I'll get back to you later. Like that was the phone that I had with the car that I had. That's just kind of the way it worked. It doesn't do that anymore because now with like the big display screens in most vehicles, you can see the texts and you do the talk to text, which we all knew Joey's very familiar with. But yeah, there was a car that I had that did that where it's like, hey, busy. I'll get back to you later.
Jason's from like West Dallas. Like, where do you go in West Dallas? Because the first couple times you might make out with the girl, you'd be like, all right, we'll drive 20 minutes for it. But you know what? The 5th, 6th, 8th, 12th time, you're like, I ain't driving that far.
You're a little too revved up. can't wait the 20 minutes.
It's all about efficiency at that point, Gabe. Exactly. Can't be wasted precious makeout time commuting to the spot. Curfew is a great point as well. Do we need to institute a curfew? Chew, what's your suggestion for curfew?
For Chaser when he turns 16?
Yeah.
I'd say 11 o'clock. Car's got to be back.
Okay. Again, I'm taking all of this into consideration. These are all things I got to start thinking about once the kid has his wheels and has his freedom. 800-990-3776. Jason weighing in saying Copernicus Park, south side of Milwaukee. And then I just boned in my room. Maybe the makeout spots have gone the way of the dodo. That's too much work.
Was the makeout spot and the necessity for them largely in part due to a parent staying home? How there was typically like back in the day, there was typically a stay at home parent more so than there is today. Like,
yeah, that could be.
Because I remember all of my friends and most in my existence, you just had time at home by yourself every day because everyone's at work.
Yeah, you mean from the time you got off of school until the time they got home from work.
Right, there was typically always.
But that's not a Friday and Saturday night, right? Like, Fridays and Saturday nights were the
Yeah, but in high school, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Tuesday's as good as a Saturday.
I will say this. I will say this. My parents were worn out by the time it got to the last day. To wit, my mother came home one time and found my, in high school, in the shower with another girl. I would have been shot by my dad.
Shot? Did you say shot or shot?
Yes. Shot.
Shot.
By my dad.
S-H-O-T.
Yes.
But by the time, I mean, my youngest brother is 11 years younger than I am. My parents were exhausted. They're like, what are we going to do? It's the last one.
Yeah, I mean, can you blame them? I mean, after having to go through some of the stories that you have told about you and the siblings that are closer to your age.
Yeah.
I got to say, I understand where your parents are coming from. They were exhausted from you.
But I had a right to be ticked off, right?
No, because you're the one who did it. You're the one who exhausted them to the point where they didn't care about what the youngest one was doing.
Yeah, but all we did is throw an M80 down the police station stairs.
I know. Every time you tell us a story,
no, I mean,
you try to defend it with...
You have multiple M80 stories.
Yes, we do. I'm not going to lie.
And if your brothers were pulling the same stuff, I totally understand why your parents were exhausted by the time you rolled around.
I don't believe that your parents thought when you blew up an M80 in the car and left a hole in the seat when you put a little cat food in there and said, oh, the cat did it. I don't think that they believed you then. I think they were already exhausted and just went, all right, whatever. We don't have the strength.
My parents weren't real worldly.
All right. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Jason Wilde is going to join the show and talking all things Packers. We will address that Russell Wilson trade. Obviously, one of the worst of all time in the NFL, maybe extending beyond that. And it sounds like there are going to be some changes to the quarterbacking in the NFC North. How does that affect the Green Bay Packers? We'll talk about that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Best place to shop diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee. Of course, it is only at the Jewelry Center. Their team of specialists will help you bring her dream ring to life. They did for me. And I kind of had an idea of what I thought my wife wanted the ring to look like. So I went in, kind of explained that to the team at the Jewelry Center, and we worked together to get the perfect ring. Maybe you have an idea, maybe you don't have an idea. If you're one of the latter, go on her Pinterest board. See if she has anything up there. If you bring some of those pictures in, the team at the Jewelry Center is going to always be able to point you in the right direction. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection at shoptjc.com or stop in at the Jewelry Center, any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Make sure you tell them that Chewy and Gabe sent you.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
We always appreciate Jason Wilde spending some time with us so we can get the latest from 1265. How are you doing this morning, Jason?
I'm not great, actually.
What's wrong?
Oh.
So I'm taking out the trash and the recyclables. Can you hear that? Can you hear the rumble?
Rumble, rumble, yep.
Yeah, and I've realized that I don't know if there's anything in my life where I feel a greater sense of accomplishment then on Tuesday mornings, making sure that we are completely recyclable and garbage free inside the house. Like, I walk back into the house after taking these out, after emptying every garbage can, and I'm looking at my life going, why? How have I gotten to the point where this feels like I did something really important? Like, it's pathetic, and I think I need some... Can you send me the number of your therapist? Because I think I need to talk about this some
happy
more.
To. She is wonderful. But there's nothing wrong with like relishing in and taking joy in those you know, sorts of things. You're keeping your house in order.
You're very sweet. I love that about you, but I'm taking out the garbage. It's not an accomplishment.
I know,
and in the famous words, and maybe this is where it all stems back to, in the famous words of Gilbert Brown, great American orator and run stopper, talking about how difficult it is to transition from playing in the NFL to retirement. Ain't 70,000 people cheering for you when you take out the trash. And he's right. Nobody's cheering. I'm all by myself.
Jason,
all right, what's on the agenda today?
Jason, real quick, do you know who started the recycle program for the Green Bay Packers?
Mark Shimura.
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Bob Harlan?
No. Think Oregon. Think trees.
Ryan Longwell.
No. Go a little farther back.
I'm not doing so well.
I think you should probably just give the answer here, big guy.
Matt LeBounty.
I never covered Matt LeBounty.
You didn't?
I mean, I know I'm old, but not quite as old as you. Your rookie season was 92. My rookie season was 96. So you were eligible for the Hall of Fame before I was. I guess I'm still playing, so I'm not eligible. But
Cool fact, though. Because he was so upset, Jason. You remember back in the day, all the playbooks were paper.
True.
And
yes.
Obviously, there's 17 game plans, and everyone's playbook for that week was a nice stack of paper, and LeBounty was so mad that they were just throwing that paper in the trash, he would go around and collect them in bins. So good for him. I thought that was a neat little fact.
Matt LeBounty, thank you for your service this morning.
Yes. Okay, I'm done.
No, that's a good...
You didn't even ask a question. You asked a trivia question about recycling.
Okay, here's a question. Jason,
oh, no.
Where was your makeout spot in... you were Stallus or Greenfield?
So I grew up... I was technically in the city of Milwaukee, 54th between Oklahoma and Forest Home on the south side. And I have no idea where the makeout spot was because I did not kiss a girl until after high school was over. So you guys can have some fun with that. I will ask this in turn, though. My good friend Marshall Sorensen grew up in that greater Muskego area. And there was, and I don't know if this is politically incorrect to call it this anymore because, you know, I don't know what smaller people prefer to be called. But there was this area that I think
Haunchyville was
Haunchyville.
Yes, there you are,
Joshua.
Rainbow Lane, I believe. I believe it's just a normal place.
I thought there was a chasm in there, but maybe not. So do we ever, I know that there was a story in like on Milwaukee or the Milwaukee Record, one of these really good, like kind of alternative newspaper-y or news sites that we have in Milwaukee that I try to read regularly to support them along with the Journal Sentinel. But I know there was a story once about like the guy who lived there and how much he hated high schoolers like me who would like come to that area. And it was like the Blair Witch Project before the Blair Witch Project, right?
That's
like
awesome.
You wanted to see if there were any dwarfs or whatever running around, gnomes, whatever it was. So no makeouts, but I was really cool pretending to be like playing Dungeons and Dragons in real life in Muskego.
So you can find it on Wikipedia, and it is Mystic
Lane.
It's
got a Wikipedia page?
Yes, it sure does.
It's pretty big time.
Yeah, Mystic Drive.
Oh, I'm sure. Awesome. I'm sure Keith Neitzel always wondered about it.
Okay, Jason, let's go ahead and transition to football here, shall we? Been wandering in the wilderness here.
What a concept.
looking for dwarves and a topic that was relevant.
Looking for dwarves and makeout spots in Milwaukee is what we have covered so far.
I think there's a segue here. Speaking of dwarves, let's talk about the running backs.
So in the Aaron Jones, we had this discussion yesterday with Aaron Jones because the Tom Silverstein piece came out just kind of running through the options. And of course, the internet just decided to rush to the worst possible option, even though Tom didn't suggest any of that. But, I mean, they're going to figure out a way to work this out. But who do you think has the leverage in this situation? Because we were having that debate internally yesterday. Who has the leverage in the Packers' Aaron Jones negotiations?
God, I missed that conversation that we were having last year about who had the leverage. Remember that? Leverage was such a great word that we talked about so much with Rodgers and the Jets and the Packers. And I don't think either one of them have leverage. And here's why. And you're right. I don't think this is another one of those instances where the realm of aggregation turn this into something that, and maybe, look, I am always open to being wrong, unlike Paula. And so I think there's the chance that this just became a big nothing burger because Tom Silverstein clearly talked to Drew Rosenhaus, and Drew Rosenhaus clearly told him, yeah, we talked to the Packers, and right now we haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do here. And then Tom did point out that they could release him and then see what happens on the open market and then try to get him back when he doesn't get what he wants. I keep going back to last year, and I'm sure you guys touched on this yesterday. Like, Aaron Jones played the system, which was stacked against him as a running back, as well as you possibly could have last year, right? Because he's set to make $16 million. The Packers said, no, sorry, we're not going to pay you that, even though you're coming off a 1,000-yard season. And he could have said, okay, well, to heck with you, and I'll go find something else. And instead, he took a $5 million pay cut to $11 million. But he made more than Dalvin Cook did, who was facing almost the exact same situation with the Vikings. And he told the Vikings to go take a long walk off a short pier. And he ended up coming nowhere near the $10 million that they were willing to pay to keep him on a pay cut as their guy in a system he'd been in for years, where he'd been to four Pro Bowls. He took it personally. His pride got in the way, which, by the way, mine would too, right? I think that's very natural. And Aaron Jones didn't. And he ended up staying in a place that made sense for him. He ended up making more money than a guy who had said, no, I'm not, I can do better than staying here on a pay cut. And now he's facing almost the exact same scenario. I personally think that both these teams are playing, or both these sides are trying to play a little bit of chicken of who's going to blink first. But Brian Gutekunst, I still, and Gabe, I know I said this to you at one point, I still can't believe how definitive Goody was at his postseason press conference about Aaron Jones being back. And I remember sitting in the media auditorium thinking, I can't believe he said it that way. Right? Like, he was so definitive about him coming back next year. And so if a GM, and GMs never want to be painted into corners, they never want to say anything definitive. Like I say, they don't even want to confirm that today is Tuesday. For him to have said that, if there was leverage, he kind of gave it away, right? And it's almost like they're trying to get it back. And then on the other side, you know, Rosenhaus has been at this for as long as I have, and he's obviously, you know, been quite the character in NFL history. And I feel like he's trying to basically make it so the pay cut is as small as possible. And so I'm sure he floated to Tom that, hey, you know, they might cut him. Because if I'm his agent, who wins that battle of public perception? Aaron Jones wins it in a freaking landslide, right? Because the GM already said how important he is, not just as a player, but a leader and a teammate and everything else. Called him the heart and soul of the team, everything else. So if I'm his agent, I'm going to try and put this as much on the Packers as I can so they feel the pressure. Instead of taking a pay cut down to $11 million, maybe he takes a pay cut down to $13 million, and there's some incentives in there that would actually push him above the number. One last thing, because I know I've been rambling. I have not gotten an answer on this. I do not claim to be a capologist, but Aaron Jones has three void years on his contract, right? And this is a concept that, you know, me and Chewy being old, this did not exist not that long ago. It's become a new thing in the last several years. Can they extend him and wipe out the void years and replace them with, for lack of a better term, real years? I'm trying to get an answer from the NFLPA on that because I don't understand it, and neither did Domofsky when I asked him about it on our show. Like, to me, the simple approach, if you can do it, is, okay, you're scheduled to make $17 million this year. We're going to give you $17 million, but we're going to extend you 3 years with real years. And then if you have injury problems, if you fall off the table, you'll have gotten your $17 million this year, but we'll have spread out the charge over 3 years. So we've lowered your cap number, and we have the ability to move on from you if we decide that you're no longer the guy. I don't know if that's precluded by those void years. I have to get an answer on that, and that's one of my goals for today.
Jason, is it fair to say that the Packers are the most stable team in the NFC North right now? All the rumblings and rumors that you're hearing about Kirk Cousins likely maybe going to Atlanta, they will obviously be in need of a franchise quarterback. Chicago, not sure what they're going to do, but either way, it's either roll with Justin Fields or more likely draft Caleb Williams, who will be a rookie starter. I guess the Lions are pretty set as they are right now, but the way that the Packers are constructed, even though they have all these holes to fill, it feels like they're the most stable team. Am I wrong in that? Am I giving them too much credit?
No, I think you're 1,000% right, Jen. I mean, and I would take it a step further and say they're one of the most stable teams in all of football. I mean, you watch, and I don't, you know, I don't watch a lot of games. I mean, if it's Thursday night and I'm writing, I'll have the Amazon game on. But, you know, if I'm going to watch something for my own enjoyment, it's probably going to be college basketball. So I don't watch, I don't know teams as well, like their rosters. I don't play fantasy football, but I do see the trend lines from the other 31 teams. And it just feels like there's some teams that are always in just mired in dysfunction, right? I mean, Jets, Aaron Rodgers, hello. So I feel like the Packers are very rarely there. There's sometimes there's some upheaval, and certainly the Aaron Rodgers saga at times sure made it feel like there was a lot of drama and a lot of issues, but they really do have such a greater amount of stability than most other organizations. So no, I think you're exactly right. I would say this, to me, the biggest piece of news in the NFC North this entire offseason was that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, did not take a head coaching job. I just think had he left, I thought that the Lions could potentially take a tumble, because I think he's that good, and I think he's done wonders with that offense. Everybody talks about the biting kneecaps and everything else, and Dan Campbell's terrific, but I don't think Dan Campbell looks nearly as smart if he doesn't have that level of an offensive coordinator. And I think that was the worst news the Packers got this offseason, was that Ben Johnson did not leave to go become a head coach somewhere else.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon. Hopefully not about makeout spots in your neighborhood growing up.
All I know is the trash looks amazing, and I'll meet you guys at Haunchyville a little bit later today.
Should I put Haunchyville on the list, Joshy? Does that belong on the list now?
For it, makeup?
Yeah,
for makeup.
No, not going to want to smooch there.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen Gabe and Chewy. I did get a few more that rolled in. Shore Drive in Bayview, Shore Drive and Texas Street overlooking, I guess, the lake. It's Shore Drive. I don't know. And then the Kilbourne Reservoir. Isn't that like over by North Avenue? Is that the one over by North Avenue that's like all, you know, where you can kind of see the city?
Yeah.
Feels like a lookout point. But I don't know that you can park cars there. Is there a parking lot there?
Not that I'm aware of. It's kind of a high traffic area, too. Like, you would think you'd want the makeout spot to be a relatively low traffic area.
That's a good point. Do we need to figure out what the criteria is for an acceptable makeout spot?
Probably. Before we start figuring out where these spots are, we got to figure out what
these are ones that are rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line.
I mean, maybe you're making out there outside of a car.
Like on a blanket?
Yeah.
Yes. Throw down a little blanket.
Shore Park, Shore Drive is the South Shore Park. I was there yesterday. I was not smooching. I was just walking a dog. Took him to the lake.
But I love how you had to clarify your activity as to why you were there.
No smooching there. Just walking the dog. Nice little day out.
Yeah. South Shore Park seems like a decent little spot.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's off the beaten path enough. You can kind of get away.
Parking lot.
Yeah.
Do police still bust people for making out?
I mean, they just kind of knock on your window and tell you to move along, right?
Is that what they do, or do they have to give you a ticket for, like, public indecency or something like that?
I mean, as long as you're...
Yeah, it's probably clothing dependent.
Look, I know you guys think I have the most run-ins with the law enforcement around here, but these are things I have not experienced.
I'm sure you could get a trespassing because technically the parks do close at certain times of night. Like you can't just show up to the park at 3 a.m. That's not really acceptable.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're nailing this stuff down. We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.
X-Golf located at American Family Field is open for the off-season. The weather is getting nicer. Golf courses are going to be opening soon, but you still want to be able to get your swings in and not have to worry about any inclement weather like we had yesterday. It's where X Golf comes in, especially at American Family Field. It's such a cool space inside the stadium, overlooking left field. If you've been there at all this offseason, you've kind of seen them and the process they've gone through inside the park of putting up the scoreboard while getting your swings in. It's a great place to go get a couple of swings in. Maybe you don't have time to play an entire round of golf. You've got an hour around lunch. Well, guess what? Book a sim, get your swings in, take advantage of their great lunch specials, and you're on your way. And you're still able to get your golf swings in to make sure your swing stays where it should be. Maybe you're looking to get better. Get a lesson with their PGA Pro and Andy Barrett. Host your next event at X Golf. It's a great event space as well. Book your sim today. X Golf, amfamfield.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Oh, muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hotel Milwaukee has something bigger, better, and bolder coming the first week of May. Mark your calendars, everybody. It's the long-awaited grand opening of the state-of-the-art sports book venue at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It's a 2,000 square foot video wall, luxury seating for more than 200 people, expanded food menu, and you guys are going to love this part. There is a broadcast booth where radio shows and television shows will be broadcasting live from the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It is going to be a sports fan's paradise, so make sure you've got it on your calendar. The grand opening is the first week of May, when sports betting in Milwaukee becomes like nothing you have ever seen before. Bet big and bet bold at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. So the general sentiment here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Hughes Day, celebrating Huey Lewis and the news, is that the Green Bay Packers will be in the market for a running back. Whether or not they get this thing figured out with Aaron Jones, which we all believe they are going to, they still need to backfill that position. So there was an article on PackersNews.com, I believe it was Pete Doherty, who said, running back is a big position of need for the Packers, who should draft three this spring. Gabe, that feels aggressive to draft three running backs. Remember, you can still go out in free agency and get a running back, although free agency, as Pete notes in the article, the deal with free agency is they're older, and running back is a young man's game.
That's particularly aggressive for a team that on their opening day roster had two running backs the last 2 years. And then they would just elevate a running back off the third. So you're going to draft three and only have one be on your 53-man roster and have the other two draft picks just sitting there on your practice squad? I mean, I think they could draft up to two. It wouldn't be shocking if they, you know, used a mid-round pick, used a third, fourth, fifth-round pick on running back, and then they've got an extra compensatory pick in the seventh round. So they go, okay, we'll take another in the seventh round just to try to backfill that position, give a little bit more competition to somebody like Emmanuel Wilson, who is on the roster a year ago. But this is a position because you have to figure out what you're also doing post Aaron Jones. But I don't think you want to have, sign Aaron Jones to a two-year extension, and then in 2 years draft a running back. I think you want to kind of bring somebody along, and then the last 2 years of their rookie deal, they're ready to go after Aaron Jones, if you move on from Aaron Jones in 2 years.
Chew, how would you address the running back position for the Green Bay Packers?
Well, what round was he drafted in? Fifth, sixth?
He was a fifth rounder.
Fifth round pick? I mean, that's a crapshoot. You can draft four, and none of them will work out. If you're trying to find the next Aaron Jones, I would probably go get in free agency, not one of the top guys, but someone who you think's maybe an up-and-comer, maybe even trade for him, and then draft one, two. It's just, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot at safety. It's a crapshoot across the board. But this could really, because I only think Aaron Jones is going to be here one more year. That's it. You guys agree with me there?
Well, he's
not carrying the load next 2 years from now.
Sure. The general sentiment is that this is a good draft class for the running backs. So yeah, if you are trying to not only supplement this season, but also maybe find your back of the future, this would be a good draft to, find one.
Well, then you do it. Then you draft two of them. I think three's a little bit much. But to try and find another Aaron Jones, I mean, the chances of that happening are slim to none. But this, we saw how important he was this last year to the offense. And there's a correlation between him playing well and Jordan Love playing well. So I'm just hung up on Goody. Absolutely nailed the draft last year. I'm very skeptical this year.
Just the numbers are saying he can't do it for a third year in a row.
Yeah. Would you agree?
We fell into this fallacy about Jordan Love.
About the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Favre to Rodgers.
They're independent. I think you have equal opportunity to mess up any draft, not dependent on how well you did last
I guess,
time.
Speaking specifically about the Pete Doherty article that says that they should draft three this spring, that feels aggressive to me. But if you find yourself late in the rounds and you've already addressed sufficiently the other needs that we have talked about, obviously the defensive back position, the linebacker position, maybe you've addressed the offensive line because you don't know what the future of David Bakhtiari is, or you do know what the future of David Bakhtiari is and you need somebody at that left tackle position. I'm not against with a late round pick throwing another running back in there. There's something about that position, guys, that I do feel like you are better to have a young guy because of the wear and the tear, because of the physicality of the position, who will just go out there and put all kinds of tread on his tires and then just keep recycling them, right? Aren't we seeing that is the trend with the league? That's why the market is what it is.
100%.
So when you're seeing guys, and I'm looking at a list right here that Acme Packing Company put together. So that's Justice and Tyler. Trey Benson from Florida State, Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Jalen Wright from Tennessee, Audric Estime from Notre Dame, Braylon Allen from Wisconsin. I'm seeing a lot of people who think that the Packers should potentially draft Braylon Allen. And I don't know if that's just because he's a Wisconsin guy, but Joshy, you're our local combine dude. How did he do at the combine?
Well, he elected not to run or do any of the agility drills, which typically when you don't do that, that means you're looking for favorable clocks at your pro day. And then when he did compete in was the bench press, which he got out bench pressed by Blake Corum by one rep. And then his jumps were the same as Tanner Bordellini, the Badgers center.
But in fairness, I saw a lot of articles saying that Tanner Bordellini might be the best athlete at the combine. So
he's also 313 pounds. So the thing is, the Packers have talked about how they want to have a guy like Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, like body type and what they do. So Braylon Allen does fit the big guy role.
Wait, help me out here. Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon's body types are nothing alike.
Yeah, right. So they want one of each.
That's okay. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, but so, Braylon Allen, he doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield a lot, does he?
Or no,
he
but
not at Wisconsin.
People were saying he looked more natural than they expected at it, but he does not have the experience of some of the other players. Now, Audric Estime, or Estime, however you say his name, he seems like a guy who could fill a Dillon role and has a little bit better balance and shiftiness for a big body, much like AJ Dillon.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who, covering college football last year, just jumped off the screen.
Yeah.
Every single time you saw Notre Dame, you know,
he seems
other
like
than
the
talking about Sam Hartman's hair, which
I mean, after you know,
talked
after
a lot
you
about during the combine,
unlose yourself in Sam Hartman's eyes, then you could start paying attention to Estime on the field.
After you unlose yourself,
Is Corum a first round pick?
No,
I don't know if there is going to be a first round pick running back this year.
There's no bell call. There's no Bijan Robinson. There's no.
I would take him with a second round pick. They have two of them.
Yeah,
if he's going to last that long.
Yeah, he just has a lot of wear and tear because he got a lot of carries. But, I mean, if you want 4 or 5 years, you could probably count on it from him. It's just his body type isn't bell cow type guy like a Bijan or those guys you typically take high.
What's a bell cow?
A guy who handles everything.
You didn't call running backs bell cows back in the day?
No. What the hell's a bell cow, though? What is it? Is it a certain kind of cow? With a bell?
Yeah, I would imagine it's the leader, the bell cow, the one who has the bell on it where the rest of the herd of cows is.
How are we missing you here, bud?
I don't know. What's that have to do with the running back? The bell cow should be Jordan Love. He's running the show.
A bell cow is the lead cow of the herd, having a bell attached to its collar around its neck so the herd can be located easily. So, meaning you're the leader of
some of y'all have never seen Yellowstone, and it shows. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. Lots of reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Running back is something a lot of people are talking about. Let's see, Marshawn Lloyd from USC is being thrown out there by Hugo. I am seeing him on these lists that Tyler and Justice compiled as well. Brett saying Estime ran a 4.7, so I'm out on him. But here's the thing, guys, I've watched Estime play football. The whole 40 time, I know that it gets a lot of attention and whatnot, but if you're watching them play on the field, you see explosiveness, right? And I know it's hard to say, well, what's the competition? Is he playing a lot of ACC competition? Yes, he is. Maybe that's not the best gauge, but I get very nervous about judging these running backs who will be moving laterally, who will be making jump cuts and things like that in order to get open and free for a straight 40-yard dash. Yeah,
play speed and 40 times are different.
I did. I asked Ron Wolf that one time. I said, because I was at a function with him, I said, why were you so bad in the first round? I don't think I used bad. And he did say, because I was drafting combine guys. I wasn't drafting football players. So to your point, Jen, yes, there's got to be a mix of both.
Like Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State, he had a terrible 40 time. But then when they did that gauntlet drill, he was the fastest guy in the field, which is showing you, hey, when he's getting balls thrown in his face and he's having to react and move and he's able to be the fastest guy there,
he's not slowing down.
Right. That's different than what everyone else is able to do, which matters. Now, he might not turn out to be good, but play speed is a different thing. And Estime fits that same bill.
Trey Benson and Blake Corum or Braylon Allen, I would love to see them double dip. That from Craig in the 4-4-3. Justin saying, Corum, stay away. His break tackle rate was one of the lowest in the country. He benefited from the O-line and opportunity. Reminds me of Monty Ball. I find that interesting because now all of a sudden we are, and Gabe and I have talked about this offline a little bit about J.J. McCarthy. So now we're also dismissing J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum. Like somehow Michigan won the national title. We're watching highlights of him on GetUp above us now. We can't say both of them sucked, can we? Like to me that just seems a little bit unusual.
Could be Harbaugh
for the team.
Hate.
I think it could be the 18 players they sent to the combine and like the fact that they might have like the most ever drafted players for a national championship team. I think that could matter.
Yeah, a lot of players up and down.
Yeah.
Justice adding to his conversation here. I would love to see them draft one high and another one late. He mentioned Trey Benson. He mentioned Jalen Wright. Want nothing to do with Allen. He's Dylan 2.0. Dylan was actually a better prospect. And then we have Brian weighing in, getting back to our other conversation about making out in cars in Milwaukee. I assume Brian is of law enforcement. He says, when I come across someone making out in a car, I just knock on the window and send them on their way. I may or may not watch a little first just to make sure no one is getting hurt. Just to make sure no one is getting hurt, he says. Brian, thanks for the input. We appreciate it. Although Gabe's embarrassed.
Well, I mean, just kind of, knock on the window. Let's just send them on their way.
How long can you watch?
15 seconds?
Okay, 15, fine.
Right? I think it's
to make
I think
sure
15.
You know what's going on
correct.
In there, and then...
Yeah, then, okay, kids.
Get a move on.
Let's get out of here. From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. Bucks in six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game, like last night, or just want to relive the biggest moments, Dame had 41 last night. Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear are the high-flying dunks from Giannis, the deep threes made from Dame, had a couple last night, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. It's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now at bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.